The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Were you talking about the possibility of Ebola, or perhaps you blew it off and you were watching some baseball playoff action, maybe even a little football, or high school football, your own kid, or maybe your grandkid? It is high school football time. A lot of people go to high school football games. Sadly, there have been some players who have died at several of these practices. It's crazy. There was one day where three kids died, and it brings up that whole thing about head injuries and heat, or how many practices, or, you know, should we limit what's going on in football? And my answer to that is, I don't think you're ever going to put a complete lid on it. And so this is where we begin our road for this hour here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. On the road that is full, as we know, in life of potholes, the one thing you're really not thinking about is a deadly virus. Let's be honest about it. That's the kind of thing that other people get. That's the kind of thing where you watch the scary headlines from Lester Holt on Dateline NBC, where somebody contracted a virus and mysteriously fell ill and died. And then it's that thing that we all do where you repeat the story and say, can you believe it? That's a shame. That's so sad for that family. That's awful. Ebola, I think it's a different story completely. We are 10 miles, our little satellite facility, on the best show that no one ever heard of. We are 10 miles away from where that hospital is. And it is not a laughing matter. It's very, very scariest. Because the first person diagnosed with Ebola in the United States, now in critical condition at this Dallas hospital and not getting any of the experimental drugs for the virus. The director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention was trying to tamp down the questions and the fear-mongering and all that kind of stuff that they think is happening. Because then, you know, it's a blame it on the media for talking about it kind of thing. But, of course, we're going to be talking about it. This is a deadly virus, right? Well, look, we're seeing what's happening in Africa. And, yes, it's Africa, and we're talking about a much different environment than in the United States. Or are we? That's what's so crazy, because so many balls were dropped when it came to Thomas Duncan. He gets ill after coming in from Liberia 2 weeks ago. This is a fever that has killed at least, and it could be more, 3,400 people out of 7,400 or so. These are cases that have been confirmed, the 7,400 plus. So the guy, Duncan, who's fighting for his life, is the only patient, and we know this, to develop Ebola in the United States. He could die pretty quickly. And, of course, why could he die quickly? He had a brush with a woman who was so young and had that fever, or virus rather, so bad that she died. I mean, she's pregnant. She just died. They tried to get her to the hospital. She was riddled with Ebola. He carried her in his arms back into the family house, and that was it. And she was gone within days, and then he was on a plane. It is like the scene from the movie. Think about the panic that must have been going through his mind. Gets on the plane, goes back to the United States to see his family in Dallas, does not, according to the people in Liberia, fill out the information correctly on the health sheets, saying that he, in fact, had carried someone with Ebola, had lived next to them, was helping them, trying to recover from that, trying to get them in a hospital. And next thing you know, here he is. The ZMapp that Nancy Reitbol and Dr. Kent Brantley got are gone. And they're not going to be available in the near future. I mean, that's out the window. There is another experimental drug that's made in Canada by a pharmaceutical company there, but they say it can be difficult for patients to take. And then the patients' families would have to decide if they wanted to use the drug. But if they wanted to, they'd have access to it. And why is that? Because they know they could die in a minute. They know that this Tom Duncan could die. We can wake up this week and that's what could happen. He's in critical, critical condition. Although they were trying to say earlier in the day, as if there was some other kind of confusion, that he might be out of the woods. I just don't understand the misinformation on this. So then, in the meantime, as they try to diagnose who is low risk, who is high risk, how we find them, you had cops everywhere in Dallas looking for a homeless man who was one of the 38 people who Duncan had potentially come in contact with. He tested negative for fever on Saturday, but they wanted to monitor him and they lost him. Okay, wait. You had a brush with him. You tested negative. Don't worry. We'll find you. You're out there somewhere. We'll find you. So now they're talking about the fact that, we got to locate him. We got to make sure he's going to be, this is how they termed it, too. We need to locate him to make sure he is continued to be monitored compassionately. So probably what happened is they thought, oh, no big deal. Homeless guy, monitor him, low risk. He probably, you know, boom, he handed him a dollar, whatever, and that's it. And then all of a sudden, they come back and realize, oh, wait a second. We're just sending this guy out there that's going to be out there in the media, and it's like we just pushed him out the door, and that's not really what happened. So, oh, my gosh, we gotta find him. We got to find him. And so far, that's where they're struggling with this, trying to find him. In Nebraska, they're pretty near an arrival of the NBC cameraman who got Ebola in Liberia. So he'll be monitored, isolated, the whole thing. And keep him away from people, and they've got a handle on this. But see, I think Duncan's case for you and me and why we care about it and why that virus, that deadly virus, is not just somewhere else, is because it shows the problems that we have when they're trying to recognize a deadly disease. They send him away. He has contact with other people. It's a misdiagnosis. It's very, very troubling. How do you raise awareness of the disease when the health professionals don't even get it? And now they're even discussing the possibility of testing people for Ebola at some of the airports because of the connecting flights that someone might have, which, why don't we just shut down the flights temporarily? Can we not do that? I mean, already people may have slipped through the cracks. The CDC say they have 10 people who had direct contact with Duncan, and they're at the greatest risk of infection, but they're monitoring the other 38 out of 114. And oh yeah, the homeless guy that they let go and now they're trying to find again. Do you feel confident that we can fight this thing? Let me tell you, there was a poll. Do you think the poll said, yeah, I believe the government can fight this, or no, I don't? We're going to tell you about that coming up a little bit later this hour. Hang with us. Jared Bro on Crisis is next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
I'm gonna fight them all. A seven nation army couldn't hold me down. They're gonna rip it off, taking their time right behind my back. And I'm talking to myself.
Well, the dust still really hasn't settled on what's happened with the Secret Service. Every day, it's like the gift that keeps on giving, media-wise, because there's some other ridiculous story that comes out. Julia Pearson, the first female director of the Secret Service, resigns on Wednesday in the aftermath of the fence jumper actually getting through five rings of security plus in the White House, shockingly, with a knife. But that wasn't the only security lapse. There have been others, and we've talked about it. My pal Jared Bro is in our virtual green room right now. He somehow circumvented security in his own place so that he could get to a phone to talk to us. And he is the crisis guru. Jared, it's just ridiculous what's gone on with the Secret Service. And the more you read about it, I think it's a culture thing. That's what it feels like to me.
They're definitely going to need some major change because this has been going on for too long. Now, I will say this. It's always a good thing in crisis management when the person at the top says, look, the buck stops with me. Things have gone wrong. Ultimately, I'm responsible, and they resign. So I think that was a smart thing to do. And for the agency, it does two things from a public relations and a crisis communication standpoint. It does send a strong signal that somebody is being held responsible and that change is coming because, of course, now you have to put a new person at the top. But the downside is Julia Pearson, after 31 years of service, took over a year ago after the agents in Cartagena brought prostitutes to their hotel. Actually, that was in 2012. So she's been in there as the person who was supposed to do the change, and the change hasn't come. And if anything, it has gotten worse.
Do you think, from the point of view, as you go in and you've helped companies, let's say, there's two different sides of this thing. So, we pretend this is a company, which it is. It's a government entity, in a sense, the Secret Service. And they made a big deal about this is the first female director of the Secret Service. Does the gender thing play into it at all? Does that hurt that you have a female? Do they think, well, see, a woman couldn't get this done, and I got to have a guy in charge in this position?
I don't think it necessarily matters the gender or race or ethnic background of the person at the top. When you look at the Secret Service, traditionally we look at men and women who are willing to take a bullet for another person. We're looking at those people who are willing to jump in front of a gunman and jump in front of a bullet. So there is generally this very high integrity among these folks. But part of what a lot of the folks in the Secret Service, especially at the White House, have said is that it's a very boring job. It's kind of like the same problem we saw with the Air Force, with people who operate the nuclear missile silos. You pretty much sit every day and you pace every day and you're supposed to be on guard. But when nothing happens over a long period of time, then you get lackadaisical. But back to the point as to whether or not it's a failure for her as a woman, I would say no. It has nothing to do with gender. It has everything to do with failure of the institution that, systemically there is something wrong in the agency, and the culture has gotten to the point that it's a that it's just flawed operation, and it's just needs to. They need to have some more head roll, I think, and more policies, procedures put in place to hold everybody accountable 24/7.
Yeah. So the person who comes in, they really need to line them up and let them go, right, and really set the tone immediately.
Yeah, some of that's going to have to happen. You're going to have to find out, whose watch did each of these events happen on. So who was responsible when those seven bullets were shot at the White House back in 2011? Who all were responsible when the Secret Service went to Cartagena? Who were the supervisors? Who ran those teams? Are those teams now moved out? And then there was also something with drunk agents in the Netherlands earlier this year.
Yeah.
So you've got to have that crackdown culture that says zero tolerance within the institution.
Yeah, it's interesting. Something you touched on a few minutes ago I thought was good, the whole idea of it's a boring job because you're doing the same thing over and over again. And if you have this problem in a company, what do you do if you go in and they're having a problem, they're having a crisis and there's a breakdown and they hire you to come in, do they have to come up with ways to keep the people engaged?
Inside the Secret Service, you've got probably three levels going on, and several of those are much more engaging than others. If you're on the team out in the field that is with the president at the events, that's a very engaging moment. You've seen them all on TV, sunglasses on, earpiece on, looking all around, getting out of the car before the president, scanning the crowd. So that's a very on-type job. The advanced teams generally are very on duty, going through, checking for bombs, checking for weaknesses, checking security. But those advanced teams were the first ones to show some type of weakness because after they're off the clock, they want to go party hardy, drink heavily, and have prostitutes and whatever else. So that culture needs to be fixed. But that's not a boredom issue. That's just what do you do on the off hours? The boredom issue is really something that is just at the White House. And quite possibly what that means is rotating people out, not leaving the same people in those positions for extended period of times, making sure that people come in and do it on a fresh basis. Maybe you do X number of days on, and then you don't do it again in another rotation for another year. They're going to have to look for a more creative way to approach that and to realize that it is boring if you're stationed there 24/7 or if that's your job 5 days a week.
Yeah, boy, that's some great advice. Jared Bro Communications, thanks so much for coming on with us.
Always good talking with you.
Don't leave me on, girl, buddy. Believe me, show me that you love me. And when I'm feeling good and I want you, there's just one thing that you should do. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my baby, to show me that you're mine, girl.
Tonight, nothing better than going out to the state fair and chowing down on some good grub. I know all of you across the country can relate to it, and all of you listening to me in Texas can relate to it. And I'll tell you, the first, when I crisscrossed all across the country, as you know, and I've lived all over the place, but I live in Texas, and there was nothing like going to my first state fair. Because I was introduced to all kinds of fried things that I'd never heard of before. Chris Arpello joins us now. She is a legendary vendor out at the Texas State Fair. And get this, folks, she introduced the original funnel cake to the fair. The funnel cake. Oh, how many funnel cakes have I eaten in my life? Probably too many to confess on these airwaves. Chris, how are you? Thanks so much for coming on.
I'm doing great. And what about you?
I'm excellent. So Christy, when you came up with the funnel cake, did you realize how much it was going to explode when you took it out there?
I had no idea. Actually, it was my mother and my father that brought it out here. They had seen it someplace else. We were primarily a nacho stand prior to that. And they saw it somewhere and brought it here. And we have become just a state fair legend. In 2009, we beat out the corn dog for the favorite fair food. So we were very proud of that.
So growing up in your family, I mean, this is what you did, right? It was all about cooking it up and serving it up and creating the buzz, I suppose.
I was 17 when my parents started here. My little sister was 11. We've been out here for 45 years. My younger sister, Jonna, went into labor making funnel cakes.
I love that story. That's a family legend. That's cool.
It really is.
That's dedication. So when you're out there for the 3 weeks of the state fair, then do you, you know, fly off to Aruba or Bermuda and just chill for a while? What do you do? Because you've got to be doing well.
I'm going to the Ritz-Carlton in San Juan.
I want to get in on this gig. I need to be in your family.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. How you doing in all those nooks and crannies? You know, we've been talking about, obviously, Ebola. You heard what Tomas had to say there, sending me a couple of links of some of the things that he and I had talked about and how ridiculous it is that it's kind of like this cat and mouse game of what are we releasing and what aren't we telling the public, and the confusion as to what do we do with, you've got Thomas Duncan in the hospital, and, you know, what the information that comes out is we've got it all under control, but the facts are they dropped the ball on it, so more people could potentially have come in contact with him, and he has a bad case of Ebola. And what does that ultimately mean in critical condition? Frankly, I don't think you can just snuff it off like it's no big deal. I mean, I had a couple of people say that to me over the weekend. Well, in Africa, you know, the dirty conditions and they don't have the hospitals. And yeah, I agree the conditions are different. But here's the thing. When we can't even get contaminated clothing correctly out, and all of a sudden then they take cars and they put everything on top of it, the hazmat teams, but they're too late. It's after the fact, after more people have touched things and come across things. You need to get on top of this right away. That's how you shut it down. If we had done this in Africa even, had helped them earlier, we probably could have helped shut it down in West Africa, at least temporarily, right? So now it doesn't matter what happened in our rearview mirror. We have to move forward with that. A lot of you had things to say about Ebola. That's the big setup. And on that note, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
This from Jake in Austin, who says, Kate, Ebola, man, it is frightening. So they have this homeless guy. They come in, then they let him out, and then they say he's low risk, but they want to find him. Why are they so intent on finding him? If it's, gee, it's no big deal, we want to monitor him. And probably because it looks bad that they let him go, and then they're trying to describe what monitoring means when reporters keep asking questions about that. So we see that, yes, there's cleanup. We see hazmat trucks. We've seen that video, but it wasn't right away. So how many people might have slipped through the cracks? I think you said it best on your show. How do you know everybody that you've come in contact with? That's the problem. How do you know? I mean, he's retracing it, but how do you know for sure who he came in contact with? Now he's in critical condition. So there may be some other people that slipped through the cracks. Certainly, I'm hoping that that's not the case, but it is a roll of the dice, let's face it. All right, this one from Evie, who says, man, come on with this travel nonsense. If anything, why don't they just cut off Africa for now, West Africa, because it's too dangerous. Who knows who comes in who may have been exposed to Ebola? Why would we take that risk? It doesn't make any sense to just not allow, to continue to allow that to happen, and then say maybe we'll test people at airports for connecting flights. Give me a break. I don't understand who's running the show at the CDC or what kind of doctors are trying to give this advice. Well, here's the thing. British Airways, other airlines, they've suspended flights from those countries. And actually, the overall traffic to and from the areas has pretty much fallen off the radar. So why are we not halting flights to that area? Why don't we just do that? It's just temporarily. And I saw something over the weekend from somebody where they said, oh, but that would, you know, that's not good because they rely on tourism. Tourism? Are you kidding me? Who is going to Liberia right now? Who in their right mind, unless they're going to help? Who's going to Liberia? Oh, we're sending 3,000 people in that direction. They're already there, working on the medical aspects of it and building the clinics and doing all that stuff. I mean, we've got all these international flights being canceled in other directions, but not to the United States. Why are we not halting flights from the countries who have Ebola? It's temporary. It's temporary, for goodness sake. I don't get it. All right, you guys, somebody else who thinks the same thing. This one from Nick, who says, Kate, I started listening to the show. I really enjoyed it for the last month or so. Shut the flights down. Give me a break. What is up with the government? Man, they will frisk us at the airport, but then when we have Ebola cases and one comes into the United States, we can't stop flights into the infected areas, even though they're doing it in Europe. Come on. What's that about? Yeah, what is that about? I'll say it again. You have this first diagnosed case. Why don't we have a travel embargo on the West African countries that are struggling with Ebola? You know, this guy, remember, Thomas Duncan was a guy who was traveling from Liberia to Dallas. He brought Ebola into the U.S. last month, and he's in isolation but in critical condition. So why would we even risk it? Talk about these cockamamie things of where can we test people for Ebola in the United States at these various airports. How about why don't we shut down the infected flights or flights that could be infected? Why don't we do that instead? All right, let's move on to something else. This one from the Peanut Gallery, who says, Kate, man, there is so much happening. It's just absolutely insane. I mean, so what? We don't have a Surgeon General and we have Ebola that we're trying to say is not a big deal because we got a handle on it. We're looking for an Attorney General. And in the meantime, we got the leftover dude, Eric Holder, still hanging around. And we also now apparently have a few other spots that we need to fill, including more than an interim, but somebody to lead the Secret Service. And so we don't have any more fence jumpers that actually weave their way into the White House. You would think that you would get some, in the case they had to get congressional approval for some of them, the nominations would start to flow. But once again, politics grinds everything to a halt. as it's all about those midterm elections. Yeah, the midterm election's pretty big, obviously. And nobody's trying to take a chance and rocking the boat. So then you don't have to rock the boat if you don't make any nominations or you don't discuss any people. You just throw some interim people in there and then move on from that. And the fact that we don't have a Surgeon General, boy, oh boy, that tells you a lot, doesn't it? Oh, a lot. All right, here's one from Joe who says, yo, I think that you are from Philadelphia or New Jersey because I've heard you talk about it before. I didn't realize that. Very cool. I wondered if you are an Eagles fan, and if you're an Eagles fan, did you watch the Eagles today? Well, of course I'm an Eagles fan, and of course I'm very excited that the Eagles won. It was another crazy week in football, and I thought this would be pretty much a layup for the Eagles, and it wasn't so much a layup, but they did win it, and that's the key. Special teams, baby, that made the huge difference. Still got a couple of touchdowns, but now the Eagles are 4-1. Speaking of football, coming up in our next segment, Matt Johnson does a fabulous job of weaving the highlights for us. So that, and we'll talk about some of the games too as well. Very, very big week. It's always a big week, isn't it? It seems like I say that all the time. The first week, not so big because different things can happen. Maybe the second. You start to hit the fifth game, though, and this was the fifth game of the season for most of the teams. You know, there was a couple of bye weeks, but that's pretty big. That's significant when it comes to where you are in wins and losses. You know, because before you know it, you get to we're almost at that midway point, and then there's the point of no return where there's teams that there is just no way that they're going to be able to get out of the hole that they've dug for themselves. And once you get into the deep hole, like the Jags, for example, where you're 0-5, even they put up some points on the board, but do you think Jacksonville is going to turn it around suddenly? Especially if you look at their schedule, and that's a team at the point of no return, baby. All right, one last one. This one from Pete. And Pete says, Kate, nail the score. I was wondering about it. Somebody told me you do this thing where you have games and you call in and you say what the score is. And if you correctly nail it, you get some sort of prize. Can you tell me more about that? I'm confused. Yes, we do a thing called Nail the Score. And it's on our Wednesday into Thursday show, so it would be Thursday for most of you. It's in our second hour, the last segment. You don't have to know much about football, or maybe you know a lot about football. It doesn't matter because the computer randomly picks the game of the week, and all you have to do is pick who you think is going to win and what you think the final score is going to be. And that, my friends, is called Nailing the Score. We've had a couple of winners over the years, although we haven't had one lately, but it happens. It's crazy. It's like I said, you look at some of the scores and it can be lopsided or close. The Browns and the Titans are a great example. 1 point. Does anybody call in and say, I'll pick the Browns to beat the Titans 29-28? No. But if you did, you would have been a big winner if that had been the game of the week. Stay with us.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective, and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Dayton is here at 2-2, slots in the near side. Royal pushed out to the right, inside handoff. And there is Brandon Oliver, wants some more. Oliver's got it all the way to the end zone. Touchdown, San Diego. First in the NFL, Brandon Oliver.
Gives way to Marine. He's in the gun with Brady. Marine off the quarterback's right hip. Shotgun set the time. Throws down the middle for Gronk at the five. Out of a tackle, into the end zone. On his feet for the touchdown for the Patriots.
When this kid's engaged, it's hard to stop him. And Brady is fired up. The crowd loves it.
On first down, Davis backs up. The football is loose as it's knocked away from him. The Eagles recover it, and the Eagles score a touchdown. It was knocked out of Davis' hand and picked up by Cedric Forrest. I think it's Forrest for the touchdown.
Up from the gun, looking right. Steps up. He'll hold it. He's at his hand. Five, and he runs it for a touchdown.
Tate takes a snap, looks left.
We've got Mary Thomas. Thomas is there. And here we go. Foot race down the east sideline. 40, 35, 30. Big man pulling away. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Denver. Kicks away. 49. 49. Dan Bailey. Retribution. Cowboys win.
Hoyer dropping. Looking. Firing in the back of the end zone. It's caught by Benjamin. He gets both feet down for a touchdown. Benjamin has scored a tying touchdown with a minute 9 to go.
Falcons still blitz. They bring pressure. Manning back. He throws one left into the end zone. Jump ball. Touchdown. Giants. Odell Beckham Jr.
Panthers in their umbrella defense. Cover with receivers left and right. One back forte.
Cover hits that. And fumble. Panthers recover at the 27-yard line.
Tailback is Kyrie Robinson. Give it to him again. Left side and a hole. Inside the 10. Down to the 5. Breaks the tackle. Touchdown, and it's over. The Saints pour off the bench as Kyrie Robinson takes it in from 18 yards out, and the Saints win in overtime.
Yeah, wow. Interesting week in the NFL. Great job, Matt. Always entertaining. I'll tell you what, one of the highlights is, and this is just a record thing. I love records. So Peyton Manning, 500th TD. Of course, he's a surefire Hall of Famer. Can you imagine? You have two sons. I can't believe that Eli wouldn't get in eventually when he retires, or Peyton Manning. But that is a piece of history, and I'll be curious to see what happens with the Broncos, because you know that wasn't it didn't look like it was going to be a layup game for them, not in the beginning, not in the first half, and then things really started to change. And of course, by the tail end of the game, they were pouring the points on, because the final score was 41-20. There were some strange finishes. There was one annihilation, the Chargers 31, zip, I mean bagel for the Jets. I can't imagine that Rex Ryan is long for this world. It makes no sense. And Phillip Rivers just picked apart the Jets, and he's amazing. He's on fire without a doubt. The game that I thought was going to be the best game on the board, the 49ers and the Chiefs, the 49ers, because I thought it'd be close, and the 49ers barely win this. Like, they beat the Eagles at home last week, but barely beat the Eagles, and now the 49ers barely beat the Chiefs. But, hey, a win is a win, so that's two big wins for them. That's what counts, you know, the W's, but they're not looking like world beaters. And a fake punt was really what helped them seal the deal on that. Matt, what were some of your observations as you were obviously flipping around? Minnesota wasn't playing this week, but you're a fantasy player like me, so I know you were watching a lot of these games too.
Yeah, I was pretty much flipping between the Red Zone channel and then the baseball playoffs most of the afternoon, so I saw quite a bit of it. And the one thing I couldn't believe is all the Texan fans in Cowboy Stadium. That was crazy to me.
Oh, no kidding. It's like they're like an away team in their stadium. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, and I saw a report that Witten was saying that they had to go to a silent count in their home
yes.
stadium because there were so many Texans fans making noise while they were on offense.
Wow. Oh, that's so bad. That is an interesting story, without a doubt. I think the other thing is, too, the Patriots, they flip it around after Brady was lousy last week. I still think he's on the last hurrah for Brady, you know, 37 years old, and he's lost a little bit. And, of course, the pounding they've taken with injuries and everything else, but they did smash the Bengals 43-17, and Andy Dalton and the Bengals have been a pretty good team this season. I mean, you could look at who they're playing and stuff, but that was a big bounce-back at-home win for them, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think just the NFL in general right now, you can look at several different teams where they got blown out 1 week, and then they come and blow out the team they're playing the next week. I mean, it's just it completely turns it on its head. You know, last week everyone was talking about how Bill Belichick and Brady are done, and then they come out this week and just destroy the Bengals, who were undefeated up until this point.
Yeah, it is weird to try to figure out how to handicap the NFL because of what you said. 1 week they look like world beaters, the next week they can barely pull out a victory. I mean, even the Saints were playing the lowly Buccaneers, who are now 1-4. I mean, this is the Saints. This is at home. And they win, but it wasn't easy for them to win. They had to win in overtime, the Saints, to pull it out. So they were on the ropes. They're not. I mean, what happened to Drew Brees? He's not looking like the old Drew Brees, that's for sure. And then you had the Ravens and the Colts, and Indianapolis, they got by, but they got by in the end, 20-13, the score there. So there were some crazy finishes on the day, and it's hard to handicap, I think, some of the teams, because you're not sure who's going to show up from week to week. That's why I said this is kind of, we're getting to that point in the season where either you're going to really plow forward and you can afford a win, a loss or two, but you got to have those wins. And then the other teams are just going to completely be out of it. They're going to be toast because they cannot get out of the hole that they're in. You can only go so far when you have a shovel and you're digging and you're digging and you're digging. All right, since we're talking about sports here, and Matt mentioned this, how huge is it for KC to be going up against Baltimore for the chance to get to the World Series? Because this is now the American League Championship Series, since they both blew out their opponents, but swept them. They swept their opponents. The Royals with the Angels and Baltimore with Detroit. One of those teams will go and represent the American League in the World Series. The Royals haven't been to a World Series since 1985. The Orioles haven't been there since 1983. That is crazy.
I think that's awesome. And also, you're guaranteed new blood in the World Series because
yes. It's
gotten a little stale recently.
Yeah, I think so, too. And now, the Dodgers and St. Louis, their series is tied at one apiece. They play on Monday night. Washington and San Francisco, they play on Monday night. San Francisco has a 2-0 lead, so they could wrap up the Nationals, but they're not fresh blood. They've been there and won. But we'll see how that finishes. But the Dodgers certainly would be.
Yeah, and I was really hoping the Dodgers and the Nationals would win both their series. And, I mean, the Dodgers are still definitely in it. But the Nationals, I can't believe both those games, they were ahead in. And the one thing I can't believe is, who is it, Matt Williams, when he took out his pitcher, Zimmerman, who had a complete game shutout going, he walked his first batter with two outs in the bottom of the ninth, or in the top of the ninth, and then he yanked his pitcher, and the next guy gave up three consecutive hits, and the Giants went on to tie the game and then eventually win it. I if I'm a Nationals fan, I would be questioning that a lot because he walks his first batter. He's been in control the entire game. He was still he was right around 100 pitches. I think he was still under. He might have had 98, 99. You got to let that guy go, I think.
You do. You have to. Come on. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how sad is it, too, for the Nationals fans that they're in that long game and they don't get the payoff? Oh, it would be so depressing to leave that stadium with a loss like that and to go in the hole, no less, and know you're on the verge of elimination. That would have been such a momentum swing for them, and it's going to be tough. I mean, I think it's going to be very tough for Washington. After this,
yeah,
really,
definitely.
Especially
going on the road to San Francisco, too. But nothing would be worse, though, in my book, to have to watch St. Louis and the Giants play again in the NLCS. I think they've been in the World Series. Haven't they been in the National League representative for the World Series like the last four years? One of those two teams.
I agree with you. New blood, baby. Let's get some fresh blood. Hey, speaking of fresh blood. Mississippi beat Alabama 23-17 on Saturday. How do you spell Mississippi? Winner, winner, winner. Mississippi State knocks off Texas A&M. It was a big day for that state all around. Perfect records. Crazy, crazy college football weekend as well. Hats off. You want to connect with us, go to americatonight.net.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.